Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now, there are religious people who say that those of us of the Churches of Christ say too much about baptism. More likely, it is said because they don't talk about it at all, or if they do, they talk about it erroneously. Recently, it was heard a man said, "You can tell a Campbellite preacher because he eventually will talk about baptism." Well, why not? Christ talked about baptism. Was he a Campbellite? Paul preached about baptism. Was he a Campbellite? Peter preached about baptism. Was he a Campbellite? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all wrote about baptism. Were they Campbellites? Now, their baptism accomplishes a lot of things. But you know there are some things that baptism will not do. But when these people preached baptism, were they Campbellites? No, those who preach the truth, they're not Campbellites. And let me just say this to those of you who like to use derogatory terms and try to put people down and by saying things that are not true. There's not one single solitary thing that the members of the Churches of Christ preach and practice by the authority of Alexander Campbell. Now, if you think so, please point out what that is. Because what we preach and practice, we'll give you book, chapter, and verse as to why we will do it. But now as to the charge of overemphasizing baptism, is it possible to overemphasize anything that God has taught? Well, we think not. It's very possible to underemphasize what He's taught. Now, there'll be pulpits that'll preach faith and love and hope and morality and so forth. They don't complain about that being overstressed. And we do contend for Bible balanced preaching. But, friend, we must do what Paul did, and that is preach the whole counsel of God. And those who claim that we preach about baptism too much, they don't do that. They won't preach the whole counsel of God. I'm persuaded if more of our religious objectors preached on the subject of baptism and taught the truth about it, our task of preaching it as often as we do wouldn't be as demanding. Baptism is one of God's commands, and men must obey it, and obey it for the reason that God has commanded it. But even then, we must realize that there are some things that baptism will not accomplish because God hasn't intended for baptism to accomplish everything. There are things that baptism accomplishes, but not for every purpose. Its purposes are limited. So we need to study what baptism will not do. Now, dear friend, conversion to Christ involves some changes that must be made. The sinner's heart, his convictions, his allegiance, that must be changed. He must have a faith that he didn't have before. His manner of life must be changed. He can't continue in sin. And his relationship to God must be changed. And the person who changes in these things, he's one that's converted to Christ. Now, there are divine appointments and divine-given commands that are to be obeyed for the purpose of accomplishing these changes. Man must have faith, and God uses faith to accomplish the needed change in man's allegiance and in his convictions, that to which he holds. In order for man to will of God from the heart, his heart must be right. His faith must reside in Christ. That's the only way to God, Jesus said, John 14:6, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." That's what the Lord taught in John 8:24. True obedience stemmed from the heart, Romans 6. Those people to whom Paul wrote are said to have obeyed from the heart. And how does that allegiance change? How does that faith come? Friend, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. One does not change his loyalties and convictions and his service and his allegiance and his understanding by baptism. He does that, that's produced by the word of God. As one hears the evidence that God presents in his word, as he considers it, as he weighs it, he comes to believe, And that's something that's necessary for salvation. And the change in one's manner of life, that's the result of genuine repentance. After all, didn't Christ say, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3? Repentance, friend, is a change of mind toward sin. It's a change of mind toward Christ. It's brought about by godly sorrow. It results in a reformed life. Now, a change in conviction that's brought about by faith, why, that's useless unless it takes action and a change of one's mind. And that will lead to one change of one's life. One cannot continue to live in sin and be pleasing to God. Romans 6:1-2. Now, baptism doesn't bring about that change. Repentance brings about that change of heart. But then again, we read that the change of relationship to God is necessary. And that follows repentance and faith and repentance. Whereas we were servants of sin, Paul said, we become servants of righteousness. And how? By our obedience to that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. When Paul was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, he gave evidence of his repentance, and he was baptized as Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Now, the Jews on Pentecost, they showed evidence that they believed the gospel message as was preached by the Apostle Peter, because they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, what were they told? They were told to repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. And those who were baptized, they were the ones that were made the sons and the daughters of God. They are the ones who entered Christ by baptism. Galatians 3:27. You see, salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. So it's important that we get into Christ. Now, that is done by baptism. And now, baptism doesn't create faith. Baptism doesn't create repentance. But baptism does put us into Christ, where one is saved from his past sins. And conversion is not complete till all of these things have been accomplished. You see, the Bible teaches that baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. It's baptism in water, Acts 8 and Acts 10. Even so, the water of baptism does not remove our sins. Now, there are those who falsely accuse gospel preachers of preaching what they call water salvation. And they claim that because we preach baptism in water to be saved. But nobody that's ever taught the truth has ever considered the power to save as being the element of water. Water is simply the element into which one must be immersed. We do not preach what is commonly called baptismal generation. We place no efficacy with the water itself. Nobody that teaches the truth does. And those that claim that we do don't tell the truth. But we rely wholly and totally on God and on the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is in baptism that we reach that blood. You see, Colossians 2:12 tells us that salvation is an operation of God, an operation that God performs when we obey his command to be baptized. And since it pleases God to save men in that sort of fashion, I wonder, why should any man object? You know, when Naaman of the Old Testament was healed of his leprosy, recorded in 2 Kings 5, when he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, neither he nor anyone else gave credit to the waters of the Jordan River with the healing power. They all knew that God healed him. But the question, when did God heal him? Why, friend, it was when he obeyed what God told him to do, and not 1 second before. Naaman glorified God, not the water, but neither did he deny the need of going into the water, as some anti-baptism people do today. Peter said that baptism saves, 1 Peter 3:21, but not in the sense that there is power in the water. The water does not save. The power is in the blood of Christ. For you see, it is in baptism that we reach that blood, and when we are baptized, we are baptized into his death, where his blood was shed, Romans 6:3-4. And baptism does not immunize one from temptation. After being baptized, we are in Christ. We are among the saved. But we are still human beings. We're not gods. We're not perfect. We're subject to temptation. And we can fall in spite of the false doctrine of once saved, always saved. Paul said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Let me tell you something, friend. There are 21 letters in the New Testament that are written to Christian people. In every single one of those letters, there are warnings against falling away. Now, if you couldn't do that, why would these warnings be given? The very fact that the warning is given shows that there is a possibility. John teaches that we make ourselves liars if we say we do not sin. Paul realized he could be tempted, and he could even become a castaway. And baptism doesn't forgive future sins. It forgives past sins. When we're baptized, we're not forgiven of sins that we haven't committed yet. Baptism doesn't give us a license to live just any way we want to. Having come to Christ, we're not to live in sin, though we often do sin. Baptism places us, however, in a relationship to God where we do have access to forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. What I want to get across to you also, that baptism is no guarantee of heaven. Now, while baptism is essential to reach heaven, and God has made it a condition that we must meet, the child of God must live faithfully in order to receive the crown of life. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. We're not to think that if we faint along the way, that the benefits of salvation are going to be ours just the same, as if we had remained steadfast. Sometimes we hear people say, "Oh, I've been baptized," as though they think being baptized means they're necessarily going to heaven. Well, they will if they live a faithful life. But if you do not live a faithful life, why, we will forfeit our salvation. We read in the Bible of baptized people falling away. You see, baptism is the beginning of being a Christian, not the end. Baptism does not change your faith and your allegiance. Baptism will not produce the change in your life. It doesn't forgive sins by virtue of water, and it will not remove temptation or the ability to sin. It will not forgive sins not yet committed. It is not a guarantee of heaven. You see, there are some things that baptism is designed to accomplish, and God has revealed that to us and commanded it of us. But there are some things baptism will not do. Baptism is the way that God has provided for us to be washed clean by the blood of Christ. It changes our relationship to God, and by obedience to his divinely given direction to be baptized, he adds us to the saved, which is his church. And the church is composed of his sons and his daughters who have been baptized into Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.